My name is Christine Cheffer. I'm a cancer biologist and currently completing my postdoctoral work in the lab of Bob Weinberg in Boston at the Whitehead Institute.
So you just gave a fascinating presentation about how some types of cells can be identified in the lab and go on to be identified as stem cells, and then some other cells do something very peculiar. They don't seem to be stem-like, but then they become stem-like and go on to cause trouble. Is that a very quick and accurate summary?
Yeah, that's correct. So we've identified that there's variation amongst cells that we think of as being differentiated or as being in a fixed solid state. And what we found is that there are subpopulations of cells that can reactivate programs and can transition to a less differentiated state. And the consequence of that is that they acquire properties that we do associate with normal stem cells, and in the context of cancer, we can identify that these cells transition to a state that allows them to become much more aggressive and metastatic.
And all your work, it came from a discovery, didn't it?
It did. It came from a serendipitous kind of observation in the lab, and that was just that in culturing these, working with these human mammary epithelial cells, I noticed that at some point that there were cells that were actually floating within the culture media, and normally we consider these cells to be dead, and certainly my boss was very curious as to why I would even look at these theoretically dead cells. But what I found was that if I collected these cells and replated them, they were actually alive, and I was able to identify that the cells that were floating and that I could reculture under normal conditions had very different biological properties.
So what did you find when you were able to reculture these cells?
What I found was that there was a subpopulation of cells that we would consider to be quite a differentiated cell type that had the ability to spontaneously switch or transition to a stem-like state. So this was happening without any known activation or expression of transcription factors.
So you didn't add anything to them?
Correct, yes. We didn't add anything to these cells. They were able to do this spontaneously. This was something that the bulk population of cells didn't do. So what happened was that we noticed that even within these floating cells that I'd collected, that there were still two populations of cells. One population of cells that had all the characteristics of being a stem-like cell, and a second population of cells that through our initial test looked to be very similar to the differentiated bulk population of cells. However, when we looked at this more differentiated population within the floating cells, we actually found that they had quite surprising characteristics and that they were able to spontaneously switch to the stem-like state.
And how do they compare to the cells that had been stem-like from the beginning?
So we put these de novo-derived stem cells, so stem cells, stem-like cells that were being derived from this differentiated population, we put these through all of the normal stem cell assays that we do in the lab, and for all intents and purposes, they were the same as the pre-existing stem-like cells within the culture.
And then what happened?
So what we're identifying is that there are many different cell types that make up the mammary gland, which is a system that we're working in, and that even though these cells are all classified as differentiated cells, there are varying degrees of differentiation, and that some of these cells that are differentiated are epigenetically different from their partners, their neighbouring cells, and that those cells, even under normal conditions, can spontaneously transition into a stem-like state, whereas other cells cannot. So in the context of cancer, what this means is that if the cells that we know can spontaneously transition to a stem-like state receive an oncogenic insult, those cells are likely to form a more aggressive cancer because the addition of that oncogene accelerates the rate with which they are able to transition to a stem-like state. And in cancer, that means that the outcome is highly aggressive cancer cells. In contrast, if cells that are differentiated but are not poised to respond to microenvironmental stimuli and to transition to the stem-like state, if those cells receive an oncogenic insult, their outcome is that they still form a cancer, but that the cancer is not as aggressive because it can't spontaneously transition to the aggressive cancer cell state. So depending on the type of cell that is activated or receives an oncogenic insult within the mammary gland, you can generate a variety of different cancer cell types. And perhaps this is one way in which the heterogeneity that we see within breast cancer is generated. And that is to say that the cell that originally receives the oncogenic insult is a determinant of how aggressive your cancer could be. So individuals might have a different type of breast cancer depending on the type of cell that their cancer originated in.
So really that's bad news, isn't it, for people who are studying cancer, because we don't anymore have to just think about one horrible population of stem cells that go on to cause trouble, but there are a whole lot of naughty cells that we didn't suspect could be troublemakers.
Yeah, this is true. And the broader implications, I think, of this work is that we do have to think about the heterogeneity that exists within tumours and perhaps broaden our minds to look at the idea that some of the cells that are less aggressive are not locked in that state, and that they can, in response to contextual signals from the microenvironment or from other tumour cells, that they can then switch to this aggressive state. So we do start to think that there is a very important interplay between the different types of cells within the tumour. And this gives us another set of pathways that we need to start thinking about in what governs these cells' ability to transition from this less aggressive to a more aggressive cancer state. And the upside of that is that we might have some other potential therapeutic targets. For example, if this turns out to be a concept that happens broadly in the cancer setting, where the less aggressive cancer cells can generate cancer cells, this gives us a different way in which to treat cancer, in that we can look for ways to block or to lock cells in this less aggressive state without focusing on trying to kill subpopulations of cells. So it might give us another avenue to explore, because the current therapeutic approaches looking at just chemo prevention and radiation seem to be quite unsuccessful in stopping cancer recurrence.